We're going to be in verses 15 through 17 today, in Romans chapter 5. Last week, if you were with us, we kind of started in this passage. 15 through 17 is just the middle of the passage that we're in. We'll finish up this passage next week. And last week, we saw the first part of this passage. I don't want to read it. Beginning in verse 12, it says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come." So last week we spoke of having a representative. We have representatives in our government that we try and vote into place, and we hope and intend for them to hold our values and follow through with our wishes according to how we casted our vote. And last week we saw that in God's Word, God teaches us that when we are born into this world, we have a spiritual representative. But he's not that great of a representative. That spiritual representative is Adam, the first man. And from that representative, we receive a sinful nature. We receive judgment and condemnation. In other words, like we are born into this world sinners, but because of who our spiritual representative is when we're born, Adam. We saw sin and death came into the world through Adam, and we inherit sinful nature, our guilt, our condemnation from Adam. And to be clear, like, God does hold us accountable for our own sin. We are guilty for our own sin. We are condemned for our own sin. But we become sinners. In other words, we commit our very own sin because we received a sinful nature from Adam. And so we see in these three verses from last week, 12 through 14, that we're in quite a predicament when our representative is Adam. When the one whom we received our inheritance from is Adam. But we catch a glimpse in verse 14 that there's good news coming. Verse 14, look at it. It says, "Even though those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come." And there is our first glimpse in this passage of the good news. That there was a new representative to come after Adam. That behind Adam, the first man, there would indeed be a second man. And as we know, that is Jesus. And so we're going to see today why Jesus is a different and a better representative for us than Adam. And if you're here and you're a believer, this will hopefully just kind of undergird the faith that you already have. It'll help you understand one of the ways that God works in our lives through Jesus. But if you're here and you're not a Christian or you're not sure, our prayer for you is that this would help you understand clearly what God has done for you in His Son Jesus and why you needed Him to do that for you in His Son Jesus. So, you guys ready to dive into verses 15 through 17 today? All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to lead us. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. We know and we recognize that we need Your Holy Spirit to help us understand Your Word. And so, Lord, we ask for that this morning. We pray that You would help us to understand Your Word. And we pray and we ask that You would help us apply Your lives. We pray that as we study your word this morning, as we understand it and apply it to our lives, Lord, that you would stoke our love for you, that our love would grow for you, that we would see your beauty and the beauty of what you've done in your son Jesus even more clearly as a result of studying this passage this morning. And for those that are among us listening or otherwise, Lord, that have yet to turn from their sin and place faith fully in Jesus, God, we pray that you would bring them to that point this morning. Amen. All right. So begin reading with me in verse 14. We're going to read down through verse 17. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Amen? So the first thing we see is that Jesus is a different and better representative than Adam. This is kind of the overarching, the umbrella truth for us that we're going to see in this passage. Everything else will just kind of prop this truth up and tell us why this is true. Jesus is a different and better representative of Adam. Adam, we receive an inheritance of a sinful nature, of condemnation, but in Jesus, if Jesus is our representative, it is a different situation, a better situation. Look at verse 15. First thing it tells us, but the free gift is not like the trespass. It's different. The free gift is speaking of what we receive when we place faith, turn from our sins and place faith in Jesus. We receive a free gift. The trespass is talking about what Adam did in the garden when he brought sin into this world and death came into this world through Adam. The free gift that is received through Jesus is different than the trespass that is received in Adam. Praise God. For if many died through the one man's trespass, so you see the ultimate result of Adam's sin, his trespass against God's command, the ultimate result was physical death and eventually spiritual death, or immediately spiritual death and eventually physical death for Adam. We receive that inheritance. But then he goes on to say in the same verse, verse 15, look at your copy of God's word, much more have the grace of God and the free gift, Paul's there, that word grace is means undeserved favor. So it's coupled with these words, free gift. Undeserved favor, free gift. You didn't pay for it, you didn't receive it, didn't earn it. Somebody's just giving it to you. Grace and free gift. Much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. So what is this free gift? We see those two words coupled together used over and over again in this passage, all the way through chapter 6. Later on in chapter 6, it's defined for us. Romans 6, verse 23. You can turn a page if you need to. Look at that verse. Familiar verse for many of you. It says, for the wages of sin is death. So what sin earns is death. What sin leads to is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So just hold the two up side by side for a moment. On one hand, we have Adam. And from Adam, we receive our sinful nature. And our sinful nature leads to sin, and our sin leads to physical death, and our physical death leads to eternal death. On the other hand, we have Jesus. And in Jesus, by placing faith in Him, we receive a free gift, not one we've earned. Like in Adam, we earn, we get our sinful nature from Him, but we eventually, at some point in our lives, early in our lives, we earn what we deserve in Adam. In other words, like I got a sinful nature from Adam, but I sinned and deserved death all by myself. So I earned that all by myself, just like Adam did. But in Jesus, something else is happening. When we place faith in Jesus and He becomes our representative, we're not earning anything. He's giving us something. A gift, a free gift, by His grace. And that something is eternal life, abundant life in Him. Now and for eternity. Do you see how Jesus is different? Do you see how Jesus is better? Yeah? It's pretty easy to see that, isn't it? It's like the commercials that you're getting right now. Doesn't matter what screen you look at, right? You're seeing them. Candidates claiming, I'm different, I'm better. Over and over again. Only with Jesus, it's actually true. He is actually different, and He is actually much, so much better. That's something we can say amen about, isn't it? Non-Christians, if you're not sure if you're a Christian or you are adamantly, I don't believe. I'm not a Christian. This is the good news we proclaim to you. If you're not a Christian, you're still wrestling with your sinful nature. You're still trying to solve those problems that you have created with your sinful nature in your life and others have created in your life with their sinful nature. You're still trying to bring solutions to the table. And here's the good news that God's Word tells us. Is there's a solution, and His name's Jesus. And in Jesus, we receive a new nature, a new inheritance, a better nature, a better inheritance. So we want to invite you to entertain Jesus, to consider trusting Him with your whole life. Jesus is different and better. He is a different and better representative for us. And we see this truth supported in two different ways in this passage. He's different and better because when we trust Jesus, it leads to righteousness after many trespasses. Now hang with me so we can see what this means. Look at the first part of verse 16. Continues to talk about the free gift. Just think of the free gift as Jesus and all that He's done for us, and what He's giving us in eternal life. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, Adam. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. Let me read that one more time. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. So what Paul is saying here, the Holy Spirit through Paul is saying here, is that in the garden, Adam sinned once, and it resulted in his judgment and his condemnation. One sin, one trespass, judgment, condemnation. We like this brand of justice, don't we? We're supporters of it. When somebody does something wrong, we believe, like if they break a law in our society, we believe that they should be judged for it. And whatever that judgment brings to light, whatever that judgment bears should be the punishment for that breaking of that particular law, we say, pay the fine, do the time, whatever it means. We're a fan of law breaking and then judgment and then whatever the condemnation is. At least when it doesn't aim itself at us, right? We had a reason to speed. Good reason, right? This is really, if you think about it, what he's saying in verse 16. Look at it one more time. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. So trespass, judgment, condemnation. That's the order. It's like A plus B equals C. It makes sense. It's logical. When we discipline our children, we don't wait for their disobedience to add up. We discipline as they go. So they disobey, we discipline. They disobey, we discipline. And that's what we see here. Adam disobeyed. He was judged. He was condemned. Now look at the end of verse 16. It says, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. So let's start at the end of the verse first. Justification, if you've been with us in chapter 5 for a while, you know that that means when a judge makes you right. He declares not only that you're innocent, but you're right before the law. So the free gift results in our justification. God declaring, God is our judge, declaring us to be right before him. But look at what the order of events here. At the end of verse 16, what it says. The free gift following many trespasses. So you remember Adam's order? It was one trespass, judgment, condemnation. That makes sense to us, right? But the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is telling us that the free gift that we receive in Jesus works a different way. One commentator says, God functions on a different, with a different arithmetic. Because the free gift follows many trespasses. For Adam, one trespass, judgment, condemnation. But in Jesus, the free gift works differently. There's a whole bunch of sin. There's a whole bunch of trespasses. Which, according to Adam's arithmetic, would lead to a whole bunch of judgment and terrible condemnation. But praise God, the free gift is different. For there is a whole bunch of trespasses. And I can testify that. About that in my own life. Like, it's not just one trespass. It's a whole bunch of them. But praise God, the free gift in Jesus, when he functions as my representative, it functions differently than when he functions differently than when Adam is my representative. For I have many trespasses. In Jesus, I receive a free gift that leads to my being declared right before God. What sense does that make? It doesn't, right? For if it made sense, it would say many trespasses, lots of judgment, really bad condemnation. But in Jesus, it's many trespasses, grace, free gift, him dying in our place, him being our representative, our substitute on the cross. And being declared righteous before God. It doesn't make sense. In fact, the only way we can make sense of it is if we back up in chapter 5 and we see why the free gift is there in the first place. Verse 8 of chapter 5, look at it. It says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So you want to make sense out of this nonsensical equation, many trespasses, free gift, justification. The way we make sense of it is the way that Romans 5 makes sense of it. Because God loves us. In spite of the fact that we have many trespasses, in spite of the fact that we are indeed sinners, he sent his son to die for us. 1 Peter 4:8 says it this way, love covers a multitude of sins. Jesus is different and better because when we trust Jesus as our representative, it leads to our righteousness. Even after many trespasses. And believer, I want you to just take a second and soak this in for a second. Because God loves you, and you are his son or daughter, he's not adding up your sins to see what you deserve. He's simply giving you, because of his love for you, what you don't deserve. Because he loves you. Christian, that's a reason to sing, isn't it? If you're here and you're not a Christian, that's why we sing. It's because God, out of his great mercy and love for us, he hasn't given us what we do deserve. He gave his son what we do deserve. His son, Jesus, died on the cross in our place. When we repent of our sins and place our faith in his son, Jesus, Jesus takes our many trespasses upon himself and gives us his righteousness. And that's why many trespasses in Jesus, many trespasses lead to grace and a free gift in him that leads to our justification. Isn't that good? You could just sit with that this week. You could just open your Bible to Romans 5 and just read these verses and just sit in the fact that God loves you and he hasn't given you what you deserve. That in Jesus, he gives you something so much better than you deserve. Just sit with that. Be encouraged by that. Jesus is different and better because trusting him leads to righteousness even after many trespasses. Number two, Jesus is different and better because trusting him leads to freedom in this life. Look at verse 17. Continuing to explain the same thing. He says, for if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. Read it one more time, just the first part of 17. For if, because of one man's trespass, we're talking about Adam, his one sin, death came into the world and death reigned through that one man. So we're speaking of death as if death is a king. Not just any kind of king, but when we look at death through the lens of God's word, we learn that death indeed reigns, and he's a terrible king. He's a tyrannical king that reigns as a result of sin. A king that no one can escape the reign of. A reign that is experienced everywhere at all times by all people. Regardless of age or social status or anything else you can think of. Death reigns because of sin. You could ask this question. What does it look like for death to reign in our world? Well, it looks like fear. In some ways, it looks like the fear of death. People who are scared to die, they live to run from death. Some people turn their fear into defying death. There's these YouTube videos that I watch with my son every once in a while. Really, I just get him to watch with me, hoping he thinks it's cool, but he won't do it one day. And it's these videos of these people that wear what's called, I guess, squirrel suits. And it's like a parachute on their body. And so it's like a flying squirrel suit. So they have material between their hip and their arm and material all the way down to their feet between their legs. They spread out. They jump off of something really tall like a mountain. And they go swooping through the air. And they don't just fly away from objects. These people are crazy. They fly like as close to trees and buildings and rock formations as they possibly can. It's amazing to watch. But they're defying death. And sadly, many of them die participating in this crazy hobby. Some of them will jump out of helicopters in cityscapes and fly between skyscrapers, eventually pulling a parachute to land. But we see this in all kinds of activities, right? People live to defy death, or they live in complete fear of death, never leaving, always protecting their lives. So we see death reign through fear, but we also see death reign through sin, the kind of sin that hurries death along. We've seen it over and over again in our lives, even in our community. Addictions that speed death along, that bring death quicker, that bondage that people can't seem to break. In some cases, sin that leads to so much shame that people make the decisions to take their own life because that's the only way they can escape that sin. In that scenario, we see death reign. A few years ago, we saw the Ashley Madison scandal, where a name of an illicit website released the names of all the men who had visited that website. In some cases, were in leadership in churches in different places, take their own lives because of the shame that brought upon them and their family. They couldn't figure out a way to escape it. Death reigned. Sometimes we see death reign through the subtle surrender to sin. Like Christians, just not taking sin very seriously. Like, it's not that big of a deal. It doesn't really affect anybody else. So I'm just going to let it remain in my life. Death reigns. And of course, we see death reign through the grave. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a preacher who is also an MD doctor, said, "The world is a place of cemeteries." You want to ask if death reigns or not? Just ride down the road. No one escapes it. Everyone has someone in a cemetery somewhere. And everyone, barring Jesus coming back first, will wind up in a cemetery somewhere. So death reigns. Look at beginning of verse 17 one more time. Why does death reign? For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. So through Adam, death reigns. Keep reading. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. Let's just pause right there for a second. We're talking about following Jesus, knowing Him, being a Christian, being saved. This is what we're talking about. Coming to a point where we receive the abundance of grace and the free gift that can only be found in Jesus. We ask the question, what does that look like? It looks like turning from our sin and trusting Jesus to save us. Trusting Jesus as our new and different and better representative to free us from sin and the reign of death. And the result is this. Keep reading in verse 17. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So in Christ, he's a better and different representative because in him, we are freed from death, from its tyranny, his tyrannical reign. We can be free of the fear of death. We can be free of the temptation to live in defiance of death. We can ride by cemeteries and know that our bodies may wind up there one day, but we won't be there forever. In Christ, and in Christ alone. First Corinthians 15:54-56 says, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's a question. Have you turned from your sin and placed faith in Jesus as your new representative? Have you done that? If you haven't, you can today. There is nothing stopping you but you. And as a church, we want to invite you to do that today. Come running to him. You can bow your heart. You can stop listening to me right now. You can bow your heart right now and surrender your life to Jesus. Turn from your sin and surrender to him. And he will save you and free you from the bonds of death right now. In Adam, we're under the kingship of death. But look at verse 17 one more time. We don't just come under the reign of someone else. But those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life. So we come up under the lordship of Jesus, the representation of Jesus, our new king, and we get to reign with him. What does that look like? It looks like a man singing hymns on his deathbed. It looks like the family of that same man after he dies mourning his passing, but celebrating the fact that he's with Jesus. It looks like an older Christian reflecting on their life and going, Jesus has given me victory after victory after victory over sin in my life. It looks like a younger Christian having hope that Jesus will indeed give them victory over the sin that they struggle with. It looks like a Christian parent comforting their child who's struggling with sin or anger or fear or worry, comforting by telling them that Jesus will indeed help them conquer those things if they trust him. What does it look like to reign over death in this life? It looks like freedom in Christ. Let's wrap this up. We were each, every one of us, born into Adam. In Adam, we have our sinful nature, his guilt, his condemnation that we've all earned on our own. But we need a new representative, and we could ask. Well, we could go to Scripture, and we could see in John 3:3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. The reason Jesus tells Nicodemus that is because Nicodemus was once born into the representation of Adam, and he needs to be born into the representation of Jesus. He needs a new nature. And the good news is that if we turn from our sin and believe in Jesus, we will indeed be born again. We will indeed receive a new inheritance and a new nature from Jesus, eternal life in him, abundant grace, and the free gift, even after many trespasses. As bad as things are being represented by Adam, hear this is important. Things aren't simply the opposite in Jesus, they are infinitely better in Jesus. So church, can't we celebrate our new representative in Jesus today? And if you're here and you haven't trusted Jesus today, we want to invite you to do that. Dustin's going to come lead us. And I want to pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for the abundance of grace that we have in you, the free gift that we don't deserve, that we